Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Because it seems like video games are back, Mr. Ben Roy and Mr. Josh Brown. I would do a regular introduction, but I'm just glad that there's video games on the immediate horizon. We're going to rattle through them. I will do an actual introduction, because what kind of podcast would this be without me saying that it's, you know, the What Culture Gaming Podcast, and I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Josh Brown.
Hello there.
Both of you guys, because I was just doing a bit of a rundown on all the stuff that's coming up across August, and it's games are back, actual video games, fully fleshed out. Price tag attached, all of it.
Listen, my friend, you're coming into this podcast, coming to me and Ben Roy saying video games are back, like I haven't been playing 2011 Skyward Sword, like I haven't been playing the Mass Effect trilogy. Video games have always been there, my friend.
I know,
been
I know.
10 years too late.
Mate, I've been playing 2004 Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow. I don't know what you're all about.
I've been playing the Tokyo Olympic Games, mate, which is the one that still says 2020, even though it was made in 2019 and released in 2021. But you've got to do whatever you can. But yeah, for the games that are coming out in August, we've got a good sort of six major releases this month, and a couple of other releases that I might touch on in terms of like updates to old games that are coming. But let's start with Aliens Fireteam Elite, yes. Which is the first Aliens game since Alien Isolation. It feels like the IP's there's been a lot of rumored stuff. There was the whole thing that was going to be announced at the Game Awards a couple of years ago. And then like Jeff Keighley even sort of said, like, oh, Aliens fans, I'm sure you got something to look forward to. Then there was nothing. And now there's this Aliens Fireteam thing, which, looking at the gameplay footage, actually seems pretty solid. Like, it's a third person shooter, and it's a whole PvE thing, and very much like a wave based survival type deal with different class powers and different just humans against all different types of xenomorphs. And Ben Ray, what are you thinking as the biggest alien fan in the room?
There's a prophecy that once a generation there will always be at least one Aliens or Alien game. And what, the 360 era, what it was mainly, I'm going to say AVP game, that was fine. Alien Isolation, last generation. Colonial Marines, we don't talk about that.
I was going to say, you're going to skip over Colonial Marines.
Yeah. And now Aliens Fireteam, because we can't, no other games are allowed to come. It's like Madden starts the winter season. Alien or Aliens, they start the new games coming out. Like, we didn't have one until like beginning of last generation, so mm-hmm. You said so. I am looking forward to this. The way it was announced was like, Alien game, by the way, as we had about 700 different Left 4 Dead likes also announced in the same afternoon. I'm here for it. I appreciate that it's also a free player game, because mm-hmm. I only have two other friends that I play with online games, so it evens out as a squad. Now it's like an Outriders sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And all it needs to do is have some solid gameplay and the AI not to be broken by one line of code. And thank damn, by looking at these previews, it seems to be doing that. It seems that each AI don't seem to be just be like, oh, here's one that might explode.
Here's the one
xenomorph
that spits at you.
They seem to, I mean, there is literally a spitter one. I'm glad that they seem to be diverse in it a bit and like, say, having a few more in there, really mix up. And I just want to shoot some Xenos. And I've only got one box that says PS5 on it, and I want this to say another box, and it's going to be £30. So,
all signs point to a solid playing game. I have one question before I just get Josh's general thoughts, but because we've all played a lot of Aliens games, we played the AVP games, you played Alien Isolation, you played all sorts of different things. Do you think that the alien acid, the alien's blood, will do acid/poison damage in this game? Because that's the divider for me.
I reckon some of them might and some of them might not. But if they don't at all, then what you've missed it.
I don't want it. The amount of different goo and blood and guts that's flying left, right and center in the previews, I don't want that to be constantly sapping my health. That's going to put me off. I'm just saying.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, yeah. You're right. Like, you look at these previews, you've got the little critters all around your little legs trying to, like, give your little ankles a bite. And you don't want, necessarily, those to explode to take half your health off.
I just don't want poison damage at all. However, in anything, ever.
I would disagree with that at that point. Because then you need it in some form. It just, I don't want it to be a case of, oh, I didn't even realize I was on acid. And now I'm dead.
You know what I mean? Okay, you know what? I've got a compromise for you. No acid blood, but every alien in that game is as strong as the one in Isolation. So you're just fighting 100 Isolation aliens. So if it gets near you, you're dead. Instant death.
I just don't want to die by splash damage. I don't want to kill the thing and then die because I'm standing near its corpse.
I take it all back. What I want in this game is for a friend to have an alien on them, and I blow up the alien spectacularly with a shotgun, and then they die because I've shotgunned an alien into them, and the blood's gone all over their face.
That'd be cool.
And then it's like an element of griefing where I can't be blamed. I was trying to help you out. You know what I mean? Like, it's not
technically, you were in the right. One thing that I didn't realize until like diving into more preview stuff is that you can't play as the Xenomorph. I think for me that's a bit of a missed opportunity, but I think they'll add that. I just have a theory that they'll add that at some point in the future, because I feel like we've got this run of movie-based games where you can play as the killer, the slasher. Like even the Terminator Resistance game added the Terminator over time, not Schwarzenegger's version, but you can play as a Terminator. You know, you obviously got Friday the 13th, and it's just, I feel like they're missing a trick if they don't like tap into the AVP vein a little bit, because it's been a long time since the last AVP game. I think that was, well, Benroy said it was in the 2000s.
That was, was like early 360. I remember buying it from a HMV in a train station in London somewhere. Like, that's how long ago it was when, you know, HMVs were still thriving around the country. So, but yeah, it's been so long, and obviously the Colonial Marines, every one of us has spoke about this about 100 times in a list before as well. Uh-huh. It's going to be nice to see a game coming out from that franchise which knows its market. It's not going to charge too much. It's not going to really bother like with a billion bells and whistles, and just going to be basically what you want.
Well, see, so that, do you guys think it's, I guess, Josh, what's your overall, I didn't even ask you for your general thoughts anyway, but what's your, do you think it's a missed opportunity, them not letting you play as the Xeno?
No, but that's only because I don't think the game, like the ones you mentioned there, you know, Dead by Daylight. I don't even think you mentioned these.
I didn't mention that, but you go on, yeah.
Did you actually?
No, I didn't at all.
I don't think you did. I knew I was just making you up. I'm making up the narrative in my head of what I wanted you to say so I could make this point. But
I was going to go with that, and I thought no, because they've done like Saw and like the Silent Hill, the Pyramid Head and everything, but yeah, they've never done the Xenomorph, yeah.
Totally. You know, I've never really been a fan in games like this specifically, in games like, you know, Left 4 Dead likes. I've never been a fan of playing as the monsters because I inevitably find you're just dying a lot. And it can be quite cool to get, you know, an enemy down. It can be great to kill another, you know, player character and take them out of the team and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I always just find myself just throwing myself at them, waiting 10 seconds to respawn and doing it again. If I'm playing as the killer, I think that excels in games like Dead by Daylight, in games like Friday the 13th and Predator, whatever, when you're like this one big figure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of like have helpers. When you're just kind of random xenomorphs or a xenomorph that can spit, like that's, to me, I don't love that. And I would rather them focus just on the co-op and PvE element rather than letting you jump in. Remember the Resident Evil 6 multiplayer? I'm sure you probably don't, Scott, but I hope Benroy does.
I had to play it this year to get a trophy, yeah.
Yeah, they had a similar thing where, you know, obviously that game is co-op. You presumably play through it with a friend and there was a multiplayer element where you could jump in as a randomly spawned zombie and invade someone else's game, and everyone was like that's quite a neat idea, but I tried to play it and it was not good, it was not fun. So when it comes to this, when it's either a choice of being cannon fodder or not, I will take not.
I see that, right? And I raise you Gears of War 3's mode where you can play as all the enemy creatures, where
there's a reason that mode never came back.
No, but it was fun. You could spit at stuff. I mean, look, at the original AVP, you could hang off the roof as a xenomorph and then like leap on different people as they went past. Just give me that. Spies versus Mercs.
AVP, I think, is different because I think AVP is like Spies versus Mercs. You know what I mean? Where you've got like small squads of each. It's not you as kind of like the horde. It's you as a couple of aliens versus a couple of predators versus a couple of humans.
Possibly.
Whereas I think this scenario is just a bit, at least for me, you know, if you, Scott Tilford, I'm not going to say it.
I want to play as a xenomorph, like, mate.
The Gears multiplayer mode. But
if you want to play the Xenomorph, let's get an online game going of AVP on 360. And let's just go. I remember, so there was that one horde mode where it's basically like, as if you die, you become a xenomorph. And then as slowly you go from like 12 humans to like, say, like two of you left fighting off all these humans and some AI. And that was a really fun mode. Mm-hmm. But I really just want some solid gunplay. And I just want to shoot hordes of stuff with my friends already in this one.
That seems to be what this is aiming for. The next title to spotlight is 12 Minutes, which I didn't really realize is written. It's developed by this guy called Luis Antonio, who is a former artist of Rockstar and Ubisoft. That's how this, because originally when 12 Minutes debuted, it didn't have its sort of A-list cast attached. And that's something that's came on across the last sort of couple of years. But it's like a murder mystery style setup where it's like a top-down view, kind of looks like an old Zelda dungeon. It's just sort of like, it's one apartment block, and it's like a couple who are played by James McAvoy and Daisy Ridley, and then a police officer comes to the door, played by Willem Dafoe, and then he kills, I think he kills the wife and the she's pregnant at the time, and also the unborn child, and then time resets, and you get to play out the minutes leading to that time again, and it's all about figuring out like the motivations behind what's happening, and apparently you can go through it a bunch of different ways to assumedly unpack everything. But like that game, like I said, kind of had this hell of a, like that's a hell of a cast, like James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, Willem Dafoe,
yeah,
being attached to what ostensibly felt like an indie project initially, but then you look at the caliber of who's actually on the developer side, and like I said, it's former Rockstar and Ubisoft, so there's a bit of money to be thrown around and a lot of you know, gameplay proficiency from the projects they've been on. But what do you guys think of that? Like, what do you think of the, I guess, the setup and the cast?
Oh, I was sold on it when it, I think it was it unveiled last year before we knew about the
it's
cast when we just saw that first
before the cast, yeah.
Trailer. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember like seeing it for the first time and just being like, I want to play that. I might not look at anything else that they put out because it seems like such a neat concept. And I was so sold immediately that, you know, I'm going to find it difficult to talk about it because I've almost been avoiding it because I'm like, you know, when you just realize is a game is something you go to play, then that's all you need to know. That's kind of like how I've approached this. And then when it was announced earlier this year or whenever it was that this cast was kind of like, you know, attached to it, I just thought, well, that's the cherry on top of the cake that I didn't even know I needed because I was already in on the concept. And now you've got like these actors that I really like. You got goddamn Willem Dafoe in there.
It was it was premiered back in 2015 at PAX, and then it didn't show up again until E3 2019. So it's had the cast attached for the last sort of couple of years. But yes, carry on.
That is crazy. I didn't know it was announced in 2015. I only became aware of it then in 2019 when it was unveiled at that point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the exact thing I just said, you know, I'm so excited to play it. I mean, I'm excited. Hopefully, I think that kicks off the month. I think it's quite early on in the month if I'm
It's like 2 weeks in, but yeah, 12 minutes is, it's like August 19th or something. It's sort of like two weeks in or so. But Benra, what's your thoughts on this potentially A-list story-driven puzzle-based thing?
I'm somewhat of a someone who's been avoiding this game myself as well, because I would like the energy of Willem Dafoe to offer me some beans, hopefully, and just go through that.
And I want it, beans, mate.
Yeah, I just want it to get. I want it to be some mad thing that also is probably almost assuredly going to be very serious. I want this like sort of like small little project in my life, and I've also been avoiding it because one of these games, it feels like, if it, not what it's all it's got, because that's reductive, but in the same thing, like the main minutia of it is the story and what's going to happen. And I just need to have it wash over me and experience it myself. So this is the one I'm very anticipated for. And I think it's on Game Pass as well, that one.
Oh, I'm not looking it was on Game Pass. I just sort of, that's the thing with something like this is, like you said, you don't want to get the story spoiled. So it's like, okay, what's the base setup? And I was like, well, the base setup is this murder mystery type thing. Well, not necessarily a mystery because it is a full-on murder, but then finding out everything else, and maybe you can change different aspects of it. I think you can change things so that Daisy Ridley initially survives and the police officer spends more time in the apartment and things like that. But where are you guys at on, I guess, like really heavily narrative-driven stuff? Like there was that big boom of point-and-clicks, like the revival of things like Walking Dead, and that sort of like Telltale stuff went away. Life is Strange is now here. I don't know. I think this is more of a point and click type thing, but are you guys looking forward to playing something like that? Or would you rather play it a different way?
After 100 hours of Mass Effect and then 30 plus hours of Skyward Sword, if this game was literally only 12 minutes, I'd be buzzing. I'd be like, that is maybe the perfect length. Maybe that's exactly what I want right now.
You're not wrong.
So yeah, I'm absolutely eager right now specifically, but always generally, for something quite narrative heavy and quite specific like this that I can just, like Benroy said, you know, jump in, let it wash over me and have a good time with, hopefully.
I wonder how many times you have to go through it before you get like the definitive one, or whether they'll pull a David Cage and go like, well, whatever happened, that's your story, even if it was like everybody died. But Benroy, thoughts on it being like a point and click type thing?
Give it to me. I'm playing the last season of The Walking Dead now, finally, and I'm just back into this sort of style of game, and I've missed it. And I'm probably going to be a demon and play Heavy Rain soon as well. So give it to me. I want it, and let's go. Let's mix it up a bit. And as Josh said, I did 100 hours of Mass Effect. It's time to sort of like have some side dishes before we get to the death loops next month and all that sort of thing.
Speaking of a full course, which is also kind of a reheated course with one little dish that's fresh on the side, Ghost of Tsushima's director's cut is this month, with the new Iki Island expansion. I think it's called Ghost of Ikishima, I think it was announced as, which apparently you can access after you get past the Act 2 part of the main save, of your main campaign. They have said you can transfer your save from PS4 to PS5, which I think is like the only time that a developer has said that, as for an exclusive, and has said, oh, look, we've designed this comfortably, so you don't have to worry about downloading the PS4 version, making a separate cloud save, trying to get on there. I think the PS5 version will just read the PS4 one, thankfully. But where are you guys at on this? I know, Ben Roy, you weren't a massive fan of Ghost of Tsushima, but are you planning on picking up the expansion, or are you running the other way?
This fake narrative of me hating Ghost of Tsushima and everyone that ever worked on it, I wish that studio sunk into the ground. No,
despises it, he does. He can't get enough.
It was just a fine game, I thought, with some great leaves and some fox adventures.
Love the foxes.
And I was happy that when I played Mafia Definitive Edition, the collectibles were also foxes, and I just wanted to end everything. But no, I'm not. I mean, I didn't jump into the...
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Try Horizon Zero Dawn DLC either. Like, I'm probably not going to jump into this, if I'm being honest. I don't know if I could have time for it, but it's not one I'm desperate to get back to.
There's more animals in it, mate. They've added cats and more foxes.
I platinumed that game, and now I'm never going to go back, and I will play the sequel, and I will enjoy it like I enjoyed this. But no, I'm kind of let down. I'm full. Speaking of big courses, I'm full.
It was a big meal, to be honest. I think, I didn't expect this either. When they announced the director's cut, I didn't think that was a game that needed more to it.
And if you play the multiplayer...
Well, see, I never played Legends. Like, I mean, I just didn't, I don't have, like, I didn't play it because it was it felt like a four-person online squad-based thing, which just always makes me run the other way. So I didn't bother with it. I have heard that it is quite enjoyable for solo players, but there's something about the more, like, ethereal, supernatural side of that game, like in Legends, where it's more super-powered, all the people you're playing up have really ridiculous abilities. And for the Ikishima stuff, it seems like they... they're doing like dream sequences, like Far Cry style dream sequences, which I do not care about at all, because it's just like anything goes, it's all crazy, and they all have this, here's a floating ghost. I do not care, which I know, Josh Ron, you love that stuff, but also, yes, Ben Roy.
better than Man with Big Stick while you're chasing a fox. So better than you being chased by Big Stick Man as you're chasing the fox. That's all I'm saying, probably.
Hopefully.
Ben Roy hates people with big sticks.
I do.
Sekiro, this game, everything. Nah, I'm excited for it. In fact, your friend and mine, Adam Nicholas, who I've noticed I bring up quite a lot on this podcast and in no other videos. I don't know why he's always applicable to this specific podcast, but he has recently got a PlayStation 5. In fact, it comes today, if I'm not mistaken. Ooh. But he's been keeping Ghost of Tsushima for a few months. I think he bought it a few months ago, and I've convinced him to get this director's cut and to play it on the PlayStation 5. So I was actually thinking, you know, in the run-up to this, with it being the one-year anniversary, even though I platinumed the game and did everything in it apart from play Legends, I was considering actually playing the whole thing again. Mm. But then obviously, after my 130-hour epic between Skyward Sword and Mass Effect, I don't really want to do that again. I don't really want to dedicate another 40 hours to the experience. However, I'm absolutely picking up the director's cut. I'm going to live vicariously through Adam Nicholas and his first playthrough and more or less pass that off as my own replay. And then, at the same time, go into the director's cut, go into this new DLC and see what it has to offer. Because, yeah, like, I'm here for the more supernatural-infused stuff. I'm here for the Far Cry-esque drug sequences that kind of, like, look like they're... Or dream sequences that look like they're going on.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I'm here for, you know, whatever they're going to do with this kind of, like, new location. Because, I mean, the environmental design of the original game, I think even Ben Roy in his hatred of big sticks can, like, you know, throw some love on it because it looked gorgeous. And from the brief snippets of gameplay that we've seen so far in the trailer, like, some of the locations are just... It was so vibrant, was so cool, and I'm just excited to, you know, look after those animals that they've added, go to like the animal shelters, look after some cats, pet the animals, play the flute, play some music, probably not even kill anyone, to be honest, just spend 10 hours doing that.
Just see if you can become friends with every last person on that island. I think for me, like, I am debating, like, not carrying my save over and then just doing it all over again. But one thing that really gets, like, doesn't get its due is how well they structured that game, where, like, I think both of you guys, I know Josh, you did, and Benroy, did you platinum it first time through? Yeah, so like you guys would have done all the side stuff, I think. Like every single character had a whole bunch of different side missions. I didn't do every single one of them. There was one monk with a whole bunch of prayer beads. I didn't do all of his stuff. Did a couple of missions, but not all sort of four or five or whatever it was. But I love the way that game is structured because even when you beat the main campaign, every character has dialogue that references the fact you've beat the main campaign, but they still have their side stuff that they want to do. And I can't think of any other game that is as well made as that, that is like is framed that way, where you're not feeling like, oh, this is main stuff, this is side stuff. And I've like, you know, I've gated off something because I finished the main thing. And I just love that you can do it in whatever order you want. So I guess even if you are someone who's maybe not combed every last inch of Tsushima itself, the initial game, it is built in that way where you can sort of go back to it and just do things in whatever order you want. And all the dialogue just seems to reflect itself, which I just think is a brilliant little feature. Like that game was held up in so many different ways. But that is like the way to do an open world game where things just make sense whichever way you do it. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, that's like the midpoint for next month. Next game is Kena Bridge of Spirits, which I think has had such a weird delay. Like it was delayed like I think a whole year from last year. Felt like there was a bit of a, obviously that everything that happened across last year, but where are you guys at on this? I think this is my like most anticipated game just because I'm such a sucker for like Pixar style animation and stuff. And I love the short that these guys put out. It's by Ember Lab, who initially did an animation for Zelda Majora's Mask. Not an official one, but it's what sort of got them on the map as this really gorgeous piece of animation. And I'm just curious what that'll feel like to control.
Totally. I actually, you know, have perhaps an unfounded worry that I want to throw out about this game because every single time I see it, it has so much buzz now. And I think it does look gorgeous. I'm personally really excited to play it, but I'm scared. And I don't know if this is actually a thing, but I'm scared that expectations might be a little bit inflated for it because it's like, it's cheaper if I recall. I think it's like $30 or maybe like a little bit after that. I don't think it's the full 70 at the very least.
Right.
And, you know, with the level of animation, with the level of graphical fidelity on show, I worry that people are expecting perhaps this big epic when I think it might be a shorter, more limited experience. And I don't want to get in a situation where those expectations kind of damage it because I hope it's
going to be good on what it sets out to do and doesn't get potentially marked down on what people want it to be.
So it's listed on, for the UK price, it's listed as $32.99. It's listed as $40 for the American price. So yeah, so I guess it isn't coming out as like a premium thing. I never really thought of it that way. Now that I've seen that, I do remember noticing that it wasn't going to be like a full price title. And I wonder if that is going to reflect on the length of it. But I mean, I'll take like a super short, like, you know, 5-6-8 hour game that is like super tight, looks gorgeous, nails its story. That could totally be a way to go. Ben Ray, what's your thoughts on The Old Kena?
I was all game for those little cute lads, the little furry things with their eyes. I was like, get them in my life. But this is one where I'm gonna wait to see how the game is properly. Like, I wait for reviews and go through. Not one hot on my list. It's on like a secondary list that I have sort of time around other things I'm playing. But yeah, it's just one of those ones that is a second tier thing. I don't hate it, I don't love it, I'm curious if that's anything else. I'm just waiting to see what else
is a big stick in it. I have to let you know. I think there is. I think you can wield the big stick, though. I'm pretty sure that Kena's main weapon is a big stick.
So I tell you what, I'll watch Once Upon a Time in America again for another 4 hours and not play that instead.
Okay. You've got to get through the year somehow. But in terms of the exclusive stuff, I think Kena is the next. I guess you could possibly count Ghost of Tsushima on PS5, but Kena Bridge of Spirits is also on PS4, but at least it's something that is on PlayStation 5, something that is sort of next gen for 2021. Next game down is Psychonauts 2, which that game, you talk about games that have been long in development. This thing, I think, almost predates me being a WoW culture. I mean, it's like, I don't know about you guys, when the earliest you can remember hearing about Psychonauts 2, but I feel like it's been so long. Like, it's ridiculous.
Ages ago, like, you know, I part of me feels like I've grown up alongside the development of this game and a few other titles, you know, but I'm pleased that it's finally happening. Mm-hmm. By all accounts, you know, I think like the past few trailers they've released have, as me as someone who was an outsider to Psychonauts 1, and even so much of what Double Fine have done, you know, before they were Double Fine, and since they have become
announced
Double Fine.
Announced in 2015, like, to throw that out there.
So that was a full 6 years ago then.
A bit of a while ago.
I think it looks good, but it's not going to be the game that gets me to rake around under my bed and dust off the Xbox at the moment. It's not going to be the game that does that. So it'll be one that if I play, I'll play it when I get a Series X, when they are eventually in stock. Mm-hmm. And yes, this is another week of me bringing up Adam Nicholas and also complaining about the stock of the Series X. I can't help it.
Someday. I mean, I don't think you should dig out your Xbox One. That feels, like a dinosaur bone at this point. But Psychonauts 2, I mean, just for the sheer sake of how long we've waited for it to come together, I'm curious what they've built, because it has to have had multiple overhauls. I don't know, like, over time, maybe Tim Schafer will talk about the original version of what it was supposed to be and how the story changed and whatever else. But I mean, even Double Fine themselves as a developer have gone through all these different ways of funding it. They announced it was like a Kickstarter project, and then they signed with the publisher, and then they had a whole thing where it was like, oh, if you back the game, we'll share the profits with you. It was like a whole thing that never went anywhere. So then it was a bit of a mess. But Ben Roy, are you a Psychonauts fan or a Double Fine fan or a Tim Schafer fan?
I'm a Tim Schafer fan. I like some Double Fine games, not Psychonauts. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm happy it exists. Like,
what was
I'm
it
just
about Psychonauts that didn't do it for you?
Just looked at the previews, didn't play it, and never really had the desire to play, if I'm being honest. I think because on Game Pass, I didn't have the desire to download it either.
Oh, mate, it's so good. I feel like only like 6 people have played Psychonauts, and they work for Double Fine, but it's really...
I feel like I say this a lot as well, where I've got money, but sometimes time is the more sort of thing. Like, it's not a question of like, do I buy this game? It's a question of, do I have time for this game when I'm doing so many other things or not doing something, just existing on the sofa, waiting for my corporeal form to ascend into the sky. So, it's not for me. I'm afraid I can't really add anything to polish it up.
You
really
can commit to playing Psychonauts 1. You can both get on your Xboxes. Play a bit of the old Psychonauts.
Ben Roy Turner, I've got money, 2021.
Campaign statement. It's only you. 2022.
But, I've got 50 quid. Like, I'll tell you that. I've got a couple of 50s.
All you need. It's all you need. The other two things that I noted down, one is Hades finally coming to PS5, Xbox, also PS4, and the previous Xbox systems as well. But I love the idea of a proper up-res 4K version of Hades, like 60 FPS. That game will be absolutely gorgeous, more so than it already is. And No More Heroes 3 finally coming out after they did the weird spin-off, whose name I forget, but they did a No More Heroes spin-off on Switch a couple of years ago, a good few years ago now, which was a really, really bad top-down version of what used to be the sort of Platinum-style, you know, like isometric camera, that sort of thing. The thing that you expect from No More Heroes, they did this weird spin-off. Everyone went, what the hell is this? And then we're finally getting No More Heroes 3, which I've not been keeping up with too much. It looks like suitably ridiculous. It's got the same style of combat as the first two, and hopefully that can kind of get the franchise back on track. I know Jules is a big No More Heroes fan. Are you guys planning on getting either Hades or No More Heroes, or shall we wrap up?
Not for me, but I will potentially get No More Heroes if the reviews are good. However, I was looking at the previews just before we started recording this, and it seemed a little bit sketchy. It seemed a little bit hit and miss, so I'm not really sure how it's going to land at the moment. You know, it's a strange series, to say the least. But Hades, on the other hand, I will not play it, but I do want to say that since we talked about it last year, since we, you know, talked about it in Game of the Year discussions and stuff, like, that game has aged like a fine wine in my old brain. Like, yeah. I think about that. I liked it at the time, but I think about it even more fondly than I did or ever expected to. You know, like, it's a game that I always will say that I want to go back and play more of, and I never will. But the fact that it gets me to think about it, I think I appreciate a lot.
That's because you broke it because you were too good. You got all the way to the end boss, and then the game going like, well, the hook is the challenge. And you went, what challenge, mate? I'm done. I've done it. I've finished it.
Your words, not mine.
Adonis Brown is the alter ego, Super Saiyan. He gets all the way through. But yeah, Benroy, any thoughts on the old No More Heroes?
I will be starting my Chaos Fury playthrough very soon. That's my take there for the game. No, sorry, not one for me.
If all of these months that we've had just having to revisit old games has actually broken us, because I looked at the sales list on PlayStation and I almost bought The Crew 2. It was £3.99, and I thought, well, I've not played that.
I almost got my friends to buy that. Predator Hunting Grounds?
Predator Hunting Grounds.
Yeah, and then they were like, no. I was like, yeah, you know what? It'll be on gold at some point, and we're trying to get it for Outriders every now and then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been the same, where I've been being pulled to these older things, and Chaos Series next, and then probably after that, Metro.
You should do it. I mean, I've just kind of been like revisiting tons of stuff, because I bought PlayStation Now to play the Tokyo Olympics game. That then meant that I had access to old school stuff. And I'm just diving on Red Faction. Give me Wild Arms. I'm diving on all sorts of stuff. I played Primal last night, mate. Primal?
Your madness. You've got that PlayStation Now subscription, and you've unlocked power that you previously never had.
I haven't played Primal since 2005.
I watched last night, just completely, as always, it's turned into a podcast about the old games we're playing.
Yeah.
I watched some Olympic skateboarding. I watched the...
The Olympics are phenomenal. But carry on.
Men's and the street women's, and then immediately downloaded the PlayStation 5 version of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 and had a bash in that last night, so I'll probably play a bit of that tonight until these August games come out.
I watched that guy get his testicles get crushed, and then that's all the Olympics I've seen.
Oh, I'm right. Afraid. I thought you were describing some sort of Pain Olympics style video, but I know what you mean.
No, that's the only part of the Olympics I've gone out my way not to watch, funnily enough, weirdly enough.
To be fair, the Olympics have been brilliant. I will totally shout out Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. They came out like 2 years ago on Switch. And also the official Sega Olympics game, which I'm genuinely enjoying. I'm liking it.
I've got a release that's coming out next month, which won't be noted there. Operation 8 of Gears, the eighth season of Gears, the eighth battle pass. Let's go, everyone.
Right, I'm ending
this. The new PUBG map is out, and it's really good.
Carried
away. What Culture Gaming Podcast host Cocktail for John by Ben Roy Turner, John by Josh Brown. Catch you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.